to a relative of the Norway, the president of the Norway Savings Bank at the time, Mr. Smith is his name. My aunt Alice used to take care of Miss Smith, who lived there, and she was at the last of her living. Miss Smith was bedridden, and so my aunt used to have me come in and do a little bit of housework for them, as far as, you know, like getting down and dust the floors up and stuff, because Aunt Alice couldn't do it anymore like that. And it was hardwood floors with oriental rugs on the floor like that. So you went around the edge of that. And she had a grand piano in there, which I thought was lovely. And it was an interesting little house, really. Her bedroom was downstairs, but apparently there were bedrooms upstairs, maybe a couple. I don't know. I never went upstairs. But there was a parlor when you went in the front door from Main Street. If you went to the left, it was a regular living room with a grand piano there, and then the dining room, and on the right was her bedroom, and further out was the kitchen, which was big, and it was old-fashioned, very big kitchen, had the black sink and whatever. And if you went, when you went in the front door, on the right was the parlor, and nobody goes in there, only her special friends, when she had come to visit. Ooh. They went into the parlor and had their visit. That's where they visited, because that was a special room with special furniture and wow. Everything. I remember seeing it. It was old-fashioned. Yeah. So, and then they took and moved it up the street, and I haven't been in there since, but I remember it.
The Historical Society.
Yeah. And off the kitchen, where the kitchen was, off the kitchen, which would look down now where the fire station is, when it was on Main Street there, was a small porch, and my aunt had clotheslines out there to hang clothes out and stuff. And so, you know, that was an old-fashioned house. It looks, they haven't done anything as far as the outside of it is concerned, so it doesn't look any different than what I remember it.
And which place is it again? Tell me again where it is, where it was, I mean, where it is, the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's up on across from the advertiser office now.
I mean, but before, I didn't catch where it was.
Well,
before.
Where it was, you know, where... Well, it's a shop that I don't even know what they got in there. Some things probably young people like to go to. There used to be Fletcher's Candy Store.
Okay, that's what I need to know.
Yeah.
I remember.
And so
that
right there across the street was right on that corner.
Okay.
Was where that house was. Yeah.
Was that then turned out to be Frank Bjorklund's law office there, that one?
Huh, I don't.
Dad used to work on that one occasionally and up at his house.
Huh.
Right next to 290 Main Street. That house, would that be? Okay, well, maybe not.
I don't know. I always thought Frank Bjorklund had his office across from the post office.
Yes, you did. You're right.
Yeah. I think you did. Yeah.
Yeah, so this must have been on the corner where the liar is, or layer. That video and
yes.
Gaming thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's the right next to the post office.
Yeah.
Between the house.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, Main Street's changed a lot.
Yes, it has.
Too much. Too much, because, you know, I need Sweat Shoe Store back. And I need Wally's. You could go in and buy just two or three nails. You didn't have to buy a whole box. Hey, all I need, lady, Mr. Longley, is just two or three nails. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm fixing a birdhouse. I don't want any box of them. That's all you have to buy now is a whole box of them.
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, you do. You really do. It's not funny. So, you know, and Ben Franklin, now, I mean, even one thing is too bad that was really old-fashioned on there was that little mobile restaurant trailer that used to be there. It was a restaurant, and I think the manager, or the one that did most of the cooking, her last name was Dustin, because she had a son that went to grammar school with me, and eventually they moved away, so I don't know whatever happened to Glenn Dustin after that. I've got a great picture of her, him, when he was, when they had taken photos, he was still here. And my sister Betty had taken me in there for lunch before, and which was very nice, and they didn't like had any tables or anything. It was a stools and
a bar because it was real small
in there. And but they were very busy. They gave lunches, and I don't think they were had long hours at, you know, in the evening or anything like that. Yeah. But they were always busy, and I remember Betty and I going in there one Saturday when we was out shopping around at Newberry's and
all the fun places.
Whatever was there at the time. And But the dear old Opera House, they're trying to get that together, and you know, I'd love to see that going again, because that was a wonderful place. The teachers were very fortunate, because they had a nice place to have their musicals on for their grand, you know, for all those children.
Yes.
And it was good, because the kids, they wouldn't, it would be the first time they ever got to be on a stage.
Yes.
You know, like that. And I was on that stage quite a few times myself with, I took lessons, dance lessons.
Oh.
So that's where they were. And then 8th grade graduation did there. Oh. 1956 high school graduation took there. The graduation ball was there. So, you know, it was very used. And they used to have old vaudeville shows.
Yeah.
And I had seen a few of them. And they were put together by people in the area, too, that were in it. They were good. They showed their stuff by dancing and singing and all of this. And it was pretty good. I went to a couple of them before. And then, like, I was showing Carol, like, this is who I would have seen, Ken McKenzie.
Oh.
That was him back in 47. I was 10 years old, the first time I had ever seen him. And his wife was Betty Cody. She's her picture's in there. And she was, and he had a whole band.
Oh, yes.
And then there was Betty Gribben. And she was like Minnie Pearl type of deal. Oh, she was funny.
Yeah, I don't remember that one, but I remember Mom and Dad going to the vaudeville shows, and Uncle Fonts, Pendexter, and Muriel would come up and go with them.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. But they used to have Hawkshaw Hawkins, and he used to come in a great big blue Cadillac, and on the front of his car was two great big Western horns.
Oh, like a steer.
Yeah, hanging out, great big tube, yeah. And he always was dressed very fancy, and usually in blue and white. You know, it was like he was like matching his car, I guess. But he would be dressed in this blue and white Western outfit, and he was extremely tall guy, and he was a very good singer. And the other one that had been there that I had seen was called Tony and Juanita. And I don't remember what their last names were. I just remember who they looked like. And they used to sing on the radio every day at noontime. Because my father, when he came home to have lunch from work, from the shoe shop, he would make sure that radio was on because he wanted to hear them. Wow. Tony and Juanita. Yeah,
Tony,
they had this little
Juanita
Western show for a half hour, I think, on there.
Wow.
So, you know, but they, a lot of things, wonderful things have happened to that opera house over the years. And when I heard that they're trying to do what they can do, get it revived again, that would be wonderful, I think.
Yeah, they're slow pace, but it's persistent.
Yeah.
They're trying.
Yeah. I'm too old. I won't be able to dance across that floor again, but anyway.
Oh, I don't say that.
But I like to think about it how everybody else can, and and another thing was they had wonderful plays. I went to a few of those with Betty. And they've had a few comedy ones, but one that I liked the best was a detective one.
Oh.
Because I still like detectives. And it was very, very good. And what was good about it, too, because it was so real, somehow on that stage, one person got shot or something, and they went down. They went right down to what were they, probably in the cellar or wherever they landed. I don't know. I never saw them again. So
well,
maybe they did.
Dead and gone.
But, yeah. So that really made everybody jump. They weren't looking for that. Yeah. And so it was, you know. And then I was in a high school play, just a little short area on it. But it was very unusual. Because it was the seniors at the time that were putting this play on, and they never in their life ever asked a freshman to join their play. And I don't know who was one of the seniors that maybe knew who I was or something. I don't know. That maybe they just, you know, felt sorry for me.
No,
I think we better let her play in the play. I think she needs it. So... So that was fun, and the best part of it is I got a new outfit to wear. It came from Brown's.
Wow, you were fancy.
That was a play that was funny. And then we had another play that one of the classmates was in, and it was like Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So... There's so many things that could happen there if they just get with it and, you know. But the thing it is, a lot of money.
That's true.
And we just don't have
to pull it back
together. They're trying to get it, do what they can. That's all.
But, so that must be with the, you know, the Oompa.
Oh, yes.
This must be the original type of thing that evolved into Oompa, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing it is, you need, you know, they're going to have from outside help. They can't just, you know, it's not this area that's going to be able to do everything, not the way things are. But, no, so it's, I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to know that was going to happen again, you know.
That would be nice.
I could always look down from heaven and say, hey, good, my wish came true.
Dance
Hooray.
On, dance on, people.
Bobby Coon and I. Bobby always was a good one, and you know, things like that. So, oh dear, I don't know. It's nice to think about stuff like that. But yeah, Main Street has, you've got your little shops out there, but not the old-fashioned kind of things that we did, you know. I always liked the blue store, you know. Mm. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. And Arthur was always nice and very helpful. And even when my late husband and I lived in Aroostook County, and George had, the kids were not feeling well, so we couldn't come down to Norway at the time. And I gave Arthur a call to find out what I was looking for my husband, for sporting coats. And he knew, he had everything information down too, because George used to buy his stuff there. And he said, I can send those up. No, I told him what I was looking for the color and everything. And can you imagine, he did that.
That was nice.
You know, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, you can't do that anymore. That don't happen anymore.
Stores
that,
all
that
work
was,
together.
Yeah, that was one-on-one type of thing.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of it is like, say, a lot of it is like banks now, too, that, you know, I had worked at the old Norway National Bank many, many years ago, and upstairs in the bookkeeping department with Gilda Fludge, and she'd passed away about a year or so ago. Well, Gilda did. She was married to a Heckenin boy. And there's Doris Thurston. She was very smart up there. I mean, if you wanted to know something, you ask her, too.
Yeah.
And Phoebe Russell, she was wonderful. She brought food in all the time.
That would be good.
But, you know, and so, and that bank was what I thought was really good with people, one-on-one type of people, you know. And you're lucky if you can find that now.
It's a new world.
You can. There's a big change of everybody all the time. They don't, the ones that work there, they don't keep them like they used to. It's whatever. I think money, maybe it had to do with the money. And
Did you ever get special dresses at that dress shop?
What is that?
That dress shop that operated where on Main Street.
Okay, let's see. What?
Browns?
You mean Browns?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That dress shop was very very wonderful. People could go in and even buy on time if they needed to. That's how good she was, Helen Salmon.
Yes.
She was wonderful. And she had a little dressing room, so you have privacy if you want to try some stuff on, come out and look in the mirror, and she will tell you, too, no, that color isn't good for you, you know, whatever. And I used to buy quite a lot of stuff there when I was working. And but she was, yeah, that was a nice little dress shop. And then the other one, too, that was good on Main Street was the little hat shop that was between Hutchins. Was right, Hutchins store was here, and then right on this, there was a little small area right here, a door, and the room was very small, but she sold hats and pocketbooks and gloves, dress gloves, scarves, things like that, and she lived on Deering Street. And I don't know that they have torn her house down or not, but they were thinking about it, and I thought that's too bad because that house must be extremely old. You know, almost how they like to keep historical stuff.
Yes.
And her house was just before, if you was on Main Street and you were going to go down Deering Street, it would be probably a couple of houses before. Where Dr. Dixon lived.
Okay.
And I know they were talking about a year or so ago, a man who had bought an apartment house had talked about tearing that house down, wanted to buy it and tear it down so that he'd have parking.
Okay. Mm.
And so I haven't been on Deering Street lately to know whether that house is still there or not. But anyway, this lady was the one that lived in that house that ran this little small shop. And eventually, her husband was the lawyer in town, June.
Margolin.
Yeah, Margos. She went in there and had a nice little shop in there, clothes and bathing suits and everything. She sold everything, yeah. And she was very pleasant. I always liked her. Yeah, she was very pleasant.
Do you remember the lady that dressed all in black that walked up and down Main Street a lot? And she lived where, right next to Jackson's Market in that house that's gone now, that was a boarding house right in the corner. And across from the advertiser. She used to sit out on the porch all the time.
Yeah, that big old house.
Yes, because she was a milliner in New York for hats, and she used to wear one all the time and come into Ashton's.
Oh.
And I wondered if she had any affiliation or worked with that hat, because I didn't know there was a hat shop.
The one that ran the hat shop, she never had anybody working with her in there.
Okay.
She was always on her own, and she was a little short lady, and I was trying to think, it seemed like her last name was Hutchins, a Hutchinson. Her last name, I think, began with H.
Hmm.
And I remember her. I remember what she looked like and everything. And she was very, very pleasant. She was the only one I ever saw in there.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And But, you know, but I know my late husband used to go to Longley's a lot, and my husband Herb really misses Longley's a lot, because he, when he was working on something, he could always find something there. And if they didn't have something downstairs, they'd go upstairs.
Yeah.
Mr. Longley or whoever was there would go upstairs and knew exactly what anybody was after, and they'd bring it down. Yeah. So no, it's too bad. All those places, but they don't have anymore for a shoe store or a men's store or anything. Now you have to go out of the area if you want something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where else did you work? Where else did you work besides the National Bank?
Oh well, I worked there, and when I first started to work in a store, I was 13, and I worked for Davis Market, and keep the shelves cleaned up, make sure the cereal was out on the shelves where they belonged, and keep everything dusted. And then as time went on, he wanted me to wait on people. And so that happened when I was about probably 15. And I worked there part-time until I was 18, part-time. And then one summer, I worked for Dennis DeLay at the shoe shop, packing shoes, which was my sister Betty's job too. That was what she did, was packing shoes. And I did that for that summer, because the next, that was when I was a junior and going into senior high school. And the next year we were going to be going on the Washington trip. So I felt that I really had to have a job that was like every day. And, you know, like full time. And so that happened to come up, and he just had told my sister, well, have her come in and see me, and I'll show her the different things that everybody does in there. And so that's what I ended up doing. And two sisters were working, doing the same thing, and helped me. Show me how to do the job and everything. They were very, very nice, so that went good. And Dennis wanted to know if I would come back the next year, and I said no, I don't think so, because I had the chance to go into the bank. So, but the first bank I went into was over to South Paris. I worked there at the Casco Bank, and one evening, around 6 o'clock at night, the telephone rings, and it's Mr. Smith from Norway Savings Bank, the president, knew my family, knew me, and called up and knew I was working over to South Paris at the bank there, and he said, why don't you come and work in our bookkeeping department, and you won't even have to drive a car. And so I thought, hey, that worked good. I guess I will. And the money was just probably a couple of dollars more than what I was earning, but that meant a lot to me. And I thought, gee, I won't have to bother to fight the business in the wintertime, see, like that. And I was using a car that had belonged to my brother John, who had gone to the service, and he left the car in my father's garage for my father to use and me to use. Boy, he was trusting. So, and so anyway, because I used to drive fast. So anyway, I did. I took that down. Job.
Whoops. Whoops. I think you're hitting the thing back here. It's making a little noise.
Oh, no.
So let's move her up a little
bit.
Excuse me.
Think we're hitting something?
Yep. So we got
to
go.
I'm sorry.
Up. That's
didn't
all
mean
right.
To.
No,
don't mean to.
No, that's all right. That's
and,
fine.
So anyway, that was the next job I had had in the bank was Norway National Bank, and it was a lot of nice people that worked there at the time. They, you know, and I knew a lot of them already anyway, because they lived right in the area.
Right.
You know, and so.
Well, it saved you gas money.
Yeah, it sure did. Yes, it did. Yeah, yeah. And having to, you know, go in bad weather at times, even over the bend. And I mean, you have to make sure you found a place to park somewhere that you could leave the car for the day,
right, too,
on
right.
Main Street. I mean, they didn't have a parking place or anything like that.
And, yeah, well, that makes sense.
So that was that one. And then one time, it was in the winter, and it was after Susan was born, Newberry's, the one that was running Newberry's, called me one day and said, we need some help at Newberry's for winter, and two, maybe a week and a half into January, because they do their inventory and stuff.
That's right.
So she said, would it be able to work for you to come in and work at that time for us? And I mean, I thought, gee, that would help me out coming Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah. So I did that. I did that for about almost a month, I think it was. Yeah. And Ina took care of Susan.
And you were still at the bank?
Hmm?
So you were no longer at the bank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was that. Then when my late husband and I moved to Aroostook County and he taught school up there, I worked with serving the kids their lunch on that line they go through up to Pine Street School up in Presque Isle. And I could see the school from where we lived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that made it good. I mean, the kids never had to go on a school bus. Yeah, they could walk to school, and so they'd get a kick out of it because they'd be going through the aisle, and there I was serving them some stuff. Yeah,
that was good.
So I had worked there, but I've worked at different things, and when growing up, before I was old enough to really work out like that, I used to babysit, you know, and I babysat for the minister and his wife who lived next door to my folks' house. And in fact,
who was that?
He just passed away too.
Who was that?
And that would have been Sally's, Reverend Sally's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then all they had was the one girl, and I think that's all they ever had was that one girl.
Betsy.
And her name was Esther Elizabeth, but they called her Betsy Sally's.
Awesome.
And I took care of her when she was around, two and 3 years old, probably like that, yeah. And so they came over one day and asked if I would be able to babysit for them. They were looking for somebody. And they had asked around who we were and so forth, because they didn't know us that well. And so that was pretty good. Just walk across the lawn, there you are. Yeah. And
that's
she was
true.
A cute little kid, and I used to babysit for them.
You mentioned,
and I used to babysit for this little girl.
Yes.
And her brother Jimmy used to babysit for him before Jean ever came into the world, and
happened.
And with Jimmy, when he went to bed, he didn't want to stay. He didn't want to stay in his crib. He wanted to be up. He wanted to get up. So what you'd have to do, you'd have to crawl on the floor very quietly into his bedroom and take hold of the leg of the crib and rock it back and forth to see if you could get him to go to sleep.
Because if you...
And you had to do it in the dark. He can't see you, because if he saw you, he wanted you to take him up. He wanted to get up. Yeah.
So I must have been the angel in the family, right?
Yeah. And an angel that would come and bring me 20 books. They want me to read books to them before they went to bed. And I was told about what time they would go to bed, you know, around what time. She and Jimmy would start bringing these books to me. And, it started out, we was going to have four books. Well, that didn't work. I went like this, you know. And I said, don't tell your mother. Don't tell your mother what time you're going to bed.
Do you remember when he pulled the, maybe you weren't babysitting him then, but he pulled all the, picked all the wallpaper off the wall by his bed?
No.
He had seen Mom and Dad taking off the former wallpaper because they were going to redo it. And he thought, well, I guess that's what you do. So they must have had the bed up close to the wall, and they came in the next morning, and he'd been picking all the anything that he could find loose that hadn't dried on off the wall. He was the angel in the family.
And then a girlfriend and I used to babysit for Tom Ryan and his wife when his kids were growing up, the boys.
Oh.
Yeah, when they were, and they lived on Main Street at the time. Yeah. Brendan and I don't know if they owned the house or that they were renting it, and that was in the area where Norway Savings Bank is. There was a lot of houses all through there when I went to school, and you know, remember all of them. There were a lot of houses area, the whole length of Main Street there.
Were they more? Rentals, like apartment buildings, or were they homes?
It was a house.
Yeah,
it was a house. And I don't know if they owned it before they moved up by the lake or not. We had babysat for them before. So
you mentioned that you took the trip to Washington.
We took the trip to Washington. See,
we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell us about that.
Because we never got that kind of trip for high school.
Oh, did you? Well, 1956, we went to the Washington trip. And I remember Ira Allen, and he has passed away now, but he had to have his guitar with him, and he went to the back of the bus with his guitar, and would singing all the time. He was all, you know, head of us all singing. And he ended up doing well in his life anyway.
Yes, he did.
He got popular and gave shows around. Ira did, yeah. But that trip went very well. There was about, there might have been a few out of the class that may not have gone. I think they could have gone if they wanted to, and they didn't for whatever reason. Maybe they had a job and they had to be working, you know, because of family back then, you know. Yeah. I mean, you really had to work to earn that money to go.
What did you think of Washington?
Well, at that time, you could go out. In fact, one evening, Priscilla Nevers, who has passed away, she was my roommate, and so was Joanna Frechette. And this last reunion a year ago was the last class reunion we had a year ago this past summer. And Joanna came to the reunion, and it's the first time I had seen her since 1956. And she didn't look any different.
Really?
Made me mad. I said, Joanna, what happened to your lines? Where are they? And I mean, no, she didn't look a bit dinner at all since the time we graduated from high school. I knew her right away. I knew her because that was Joanna. And so we had a good time to visit and get to laughing about stuff. She was a very, very nice girl, very smart in school, too, Joanna was. And I can't remember it. I know at one time she lived in Oklahoma for quite a while. And at one time, I think, she even taught on a Indian reservation out that way.
Mm.
But since then, she has moved to other places. And so I don't remember this last time, but... she has a family and so forth, but that was wonderful to see her. But Washington, D.C., when we were out there, it sounds like you're not safe anymore. And probably maybe Trump isn't helping anything by having all that force there, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember Priscilla Nevers was a very quiet girl and very, very smart, too. Very nice person. I always liked Priscilla very much. And she was our roommate. And Joanna had something going on herself that night with some of the other girls. And so I said, well, Priscilla, why don't you and I go out and just take a short walk? And I said, we won't go too fast. You don't have to worry not to get back to the hotel. And, you know, and we felt safe, and we were able to feel that we could be safe. But apparently, everything is altogether different now. You don't want to be going out walking, you know, like that. I don't know. But back then, it wasn't noisy. When we were out, it wasn't like any noisy people hanging around or anything like that. But we crossed the street and started going up the sidewalk. And pretty soon, this door opens up and it's a bar. And the guy comes out, he's drunk. And he's, and he stumbles down the stairs. He doesn't fall, but he stumbles down the stairs. And we were right there when he did it. And he said, right, girls, why don't you come in? Come in and have a little dance, have a little drink, or something. And I said, you get out of here. I said, you get out of here. You take those stairs and go right back up there and shut that door. And you know he did.
He did?
He was a drunkie man. He did exactly what you told him to.
Oh, my God.
Well, Priscilla was, she didn't do nothing. She was scared to death, you know. But she calmed down after we got rid of him. And so we came for our little walk, and we didn't stop anywhere. We just decided we was going to get out for a minute. And we got back, we were fine. But when I've thought about it, the way things are now, you couldn't do that.
It's a whole different world right now.
Yeah.
Whole different world.
Yeah, it's all together a different type of life now.
Yes.
So that, you know.
That's true.
And no one ever wants to be alone either. I mean, you know. I feel like if it is pitch dark out in this area, and I was going to go from where I live up to as far as Pleasant Street or Summer Street, you know, I've seen the time you could go by yourself and feel wonderful. Well, one time Susan was home, and we decided we was going to take a walk out. And it was just she and I, and we were by the park, the old Maui park, by the Maui Savings Bank. And there was a bunch of rowdies in there. They were sitting on the bench, and they, you know, and we didn't pay any attention to them, but we saw they were there. The minute we hit that area, a couple of guys got up and were right behind us, and they were saying something. And Susan turned around and she said, "You get out of here. Do you want a knuckle sandwich now or later?"
Sounds like you.
So, that she takes after you, I guess, sir.
No, you know, I let her take care of it. She was younger. Yeah, she said, "You want a knuckle sandwich now or later?" And I mean, she was ugly to him. And I'm telling you, laid off. They were right. They were pretty close behind us too.
Yeah, that's not a good feeling.
No.
At all.
No. So, you know, but I mean, I think this is quite.
Here we go again. Yeah. Well, just squeaking again.
Yeah. Move way forward.
I think you're going to have to. Okay, you walk ahead, and I'm going to move the chair a bit.
Okay, I got to stop moving this chair. Okay.
There you go.
Yourself. It's
a good
one. And it's awful because one of the best chairs I've ever had since I was a kid is a rocking chair.
Yeah.
And you know, the one that always remembered that was Howland Moss. He said he remembered before he and Helen were married and he came up to take her out, That's where I was.
In the rocking
chair in the kitchen. Yeah, he always remembered that. And so I always have a rocking chair at home, just like I got that old antique one in the other room that's supposed to go to Susan. And Bruce has got one, you know, just like it. Oh, yeah. Their great-grandmother gave me two rocking chairs, and they were oak. They were oak rocking chairs, and I redid them over. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to have a lot of work because she had taken good care of them anyway. But I did redo them and everything, and I made sure Bruce got his, and I've still got the one that belongs for Susan. And I thought that, you know, that's pretty good.
Yes, it is. They will love that.
Yeah. So she felt that nobody else in the family would care about it one way or the other. And so
that was nice. That was good.
So that's nice. Yeah. So, but I don't know. It's
any more questions?
Well, I know one sad thing I feel right now when I think about it, when I think about my classmates, I haven't seen very many this year at all. Usually I do, because they usually come home to Norway from out of state in the summer. Mm-hmm. And they either stay with someone, or they have a cottage or a summer place they go to. But that didn't happen this year. It was kind of sad because I had to go to graveside services instead.
That's hard.
And I mean, these were people that were really, really friendly with me too. So it really was very, very hard, and to go through that. But the ones that used to come home are not well enough now anyway. And once in a while we kept in touch. They would ask, they weren't going to be coming home, so they would ask about Norway and Main Street, and is that there, and is this there, and so forth, you know.
That's true.
And I think one place people probably miss is Goodwin's Dairy.
I do.
Yeah, I like that place. At least once every week. Yeah. I would be in there. It was either for ice cream or for something. And a lot of the classmates were waitresses there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, Janice Goodwin Martin, she was one that worked there for years. And, so that was a very, very sad thing when that went. And Archie, really, he had a tight ship there. He really made sure that whoever was there was doing what they were supposed to be doing too. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
One time I remember was over there one evening and looked across the bar, and there's Alfred Brown. Yeah, mm-hmm. Alfred Brown was sitting there beside one of the snow boys from South Paris. And I think they were on a break from work, the snow boys were. And anyway, they were sitting beside Alfred, and Alfred, the snow boy, was having his lunch. So Alfred was, and I remember Janice was working that night too. And she went over to wait on Alfred. He said he wanted some French fries. So he got his French fries. And every time he turned his head, the snow boy would help him. And Alfred was wondering what was going on. He didn't eat all of them. So that was kind of funny. And then he said to Janice, remember when you borrowed my car? And Janice said, Alfred, I never borrowed your car. She was embarrassed. Yeah, so you know, those were the funny days.
Well, we always had a lot of characters.
Yeah, oh yeah, yes.
In the town,
well, we had one that lived up the street from Main from Summer Street. He lived up the street on Whitman Street, and right up right on the corner. The house is still there. I don't know who's living there now, but The house is still there that the family lived in. And he drank way too much. And so he'd get kicked out by his wife. She wasn't going to have him stay there at home. Not like that. So he'd ended out going over to where the station used to come in by, you know, the old farmers, Norway farmers, yes, market there. And some of the boxcars were there all evening. And the door was open, and that's where he got in and get his nap right there. And during the war, they would shut the lights off certain times, and there would be a siren might go or something, and everybody had to have all their lights off during the war. And my father was one of them. They asked to go out to check around. And that used to make my mother kind of nervous in a way, because it was dark. There was no lights out, even outside. No lights in the house, no lights anywhere outside. Mm. So it was that. So he had to have a flashlight with him. And she didn't like it because he didn't take a billy club with him. He was supposed to take a billy club, and he wouldn't. My father would, you know. And he wouldn't take one. He figured if there was somebody, he could handle it, you know. So, yeah, a big deal. Guy. So, and he would always go over there when the box guy was, and there was that guy in there.
Oh, my. He was naughty most of the night.
He was there sleeping. He left him alone. He didn't make him up. He didn't make him move. He wasn't doing anything. He was in there sleeping on some hay or something, I guess. So, but, you know, different things. Kids nowadays don't have any idea.
No, we don't, do
they,
we?
You know, really, they don't. No, they don't, you know. Like mine, they, you know, you tell them something as, you know, really? You know? Yeah, that used to happen. Yeah. But.
What do you remember about Barjo's? What do you remember about Barjo's? Restaurant?
Barjo's.
Oh, Barjo's?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Barjo's. Well, Barjo's was wonderful, I thought. She made sure that anyone that didn't have a meal had one. Mm. She gave a lot of free meals away. And it was back when my father had a lot of trouble with his back. Something happened to his back. And Dr. Tyler, who used to live, his daughter went to school with me too, Mildred, and she is no longer here. But we were in grammar school together, and they lived on Marston Street near George Andrews' house.
Okay.
And he used to go to anybody's house to do his chiropractor.
Oh,
if he
right
had
to them.
If they couldn't go, and my father, he could hardly get out of bed, so he couldn't go. So he used to come to the house to give my father the treatment on his back, Dr. Tyler. And that was, you know, back then doctors came to your house. Dr. Nelson came to the house when I had measles and chicken pox and all of this, because I was very, very sick with it. John never was, but I was very, very ill every time I had something like that. And I would have such a high temperature that it was like hallucinated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that I thought.
That's serious.
You know, yeah. And because I know I came home from school one day, and I was coming down with old-fashioned measles. Mm. And I was sitting in the chair in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, it scared my mother. I started crying, and I said, my hands are getting bigger. And it was like, yeah. And my mother came over and checked me. I was just burning up. And she checked me over and could see that I was getting all broken out or something. So she called Dr. Nelson. I had old-fashioned measles.
Wow.
And very, very ill. It went on for more than a couple of weeks or more. And but John had him, and he could get up and play, and all eating, you know, nothing bothered him. Yeah,
good old John.
He was all right, but I was sick in bed, and that I don't know. But Badger's restaurant, she was a very, very hard worker, and she used to make sure that everybody was doing their job too. She had waitresses, very, very good waitresses, and they were very, they worked very hard too. And Stoney, her husband, he used to work out in the kitchen too, and he used to make the salads and stuff, the green salads and whatever, you know. And it would be a bowl like this, you know, a great big bowl. And he used to do a lot of the cooking and stuff, as well as her. And, you know, and it was always neat in there, and it was always busy. The ones from the mill and everything used to go there for their break.
Yeah.
And my late husband worked for her, washing windows in the restaurant, outside the restaurant, making sure everything was swept up outside near the restaurant, the sidewalk. They owned Hotel Stone, and George worked there for them, selling tickets to the bus. The bus used to park out front.
Yeah.
And then people would come in and stay at the motel, and he took care of that, gave them the key and the money, whatever, and receipts. Yep, and he did that while he was in high school and college. And that's how it happened. That's how he really got his college paid for, by that. Beside other jobs he did, too. He had about 3 jobs in 1 year. So that when he got out of college, there was nothing to pay. He had, everything was paid for.
Wow.
Yeah, because he'd worked so hard. And but Hotel Stone, I took dance lessons there. They had anybody in the area that gave dance lessons, they had to come up from Lewiston. And the first one I had, unbelievable. She was a very nice dancer, very good ballet dancer. She used to do her act on the stage after we had our thing to do. Mm-hmm. Then she used to do her act. And her name was Miss Cooper. And she was at least this big. Yeah.
Oh, and what, short, a ballet?
And short. And she was big and round, short. So you can remember what she looked like in a tutu. And ballet shoes on and jump around.
Oh, Miss Piggy.
Well, she was like you. But we took lessons from her. There was about, oh, probably 12 of us in all, between Norway and South Paris people that, mm-hmm. that came there. And it was downstairs at Hotel Stone, on the right of the porch. There was a, I have a picture of the old hotel, of course, a big bay window there, and a big bay window on the other side before you went into the hotel yourself. And on the right side, that big room there was where lessons were made. And when the fortune teller came, that's where she went and gave her fortune teller time too. Oh, yes. That was, yeah, for, yeah, there used to be a fortune teller, came from Massachusetts about every summer. And she would, yeah, she went in, and that was her room, and she had a round table, and she had this ball or something on the front, you know. And she wasn't weird looking or anything. I went to her once. Yeah, I worked, I was working at the Norway National Bank at the time. I was on vacation. And she was showed up, and I thought, I think I'm going to go to her just for the fun of it, because some friends and I were talking about it. And somebody had been, and they said, you know, she told me exactly something that she shouldn't even know, but she knew. And I thought, guess I'll go see her. And her name was Miss Mathis. Yeah, her last name was Mathis. Well, anyway, but that's how the hotel was used by a lot. They had reunions there, some reunion things there, did big dinners. When Mr. Fred Smith retired from Maui National, from the Maui National Bank, they had a big dinner for him, mm-hmm. a big celebration for him. Everybody was there that worked with the Maui National Bank. I got a photo of that at home of all of them, and so you know it was a busy place. I think probably their motel, their rooms, I don't think were ever empty. I think there was always rooms rented there all the time, because they had pipeline workers that came and they used to stay there that worked out on the Waterford Road.
Okay.
And so you know it was a busy place, and it was kept clean too. You never went in and it wasn't clean. It was always clean, and that's one thing I thought was too bad that it had to be torn down, but I think it was torn down because it would have been so much to keep it up. It was big. It was big and a lot to it. And I was sorry that they were going to take it down, because I felt if it was there now, I can't believe the tourists wouldn't have loved it.
Oh,
I really feel they would. And I felt that it would have been a busy place, but anyway, so that disappeared. And then, of course, the old blue store, that never was redone. They made it sound like maybe they would, but I never thought it would be, and it wasn't.
Too much, I think, to do it.
Yeah. So that went. That was kind of too bad.
What about your fortune? What fortune did she tell you about?
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, good point.
I went in, was in the afternoon, and there wasn't a lot of other people waiting. I think you had to kind of have an appointment. Anyway, so I went in and sat down, and she said, I am going to tell you a few things that you've been thinking about. And I thought, well, this ought to be good. it was kind of scary. Well, anyway, she said, I will talk to you first, then afterwards, she said, if you have something you want to ask me about, any questions or something you want to talk about, you know, do it afterward. So one thing that was on my mind before I went had to do with a relative of mine who went down in a plane in World War II. And he had come home on a furlough for his last time. And this was Ken Kayla's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And very nice looking young man he was. He was younger than Ken. And he came to their house. It was the last time he ever saw anybody in the family again. And he went down in a plane, and I have always had that on my mind. But I didn't tell her, but she told me that I know you're thinking about a young man who was in the military, and he went down in an ocean, and no one ever found him, no one ever saw him again. And I thought, now I didn't tell her that, but she told me that, exactly what she told me.
Yeah, kind of amazing.
So, I don't know. And I don't know. We talked about different things, and she seemed to know. She knew there was something laid over a chair in my room, and I couldn't get over that. And there was, it was a sweater that was on my chair. And when I came home, I had to make believe I looked. I could, you know, and I thought, oh, I've been wondering for that. I've been looking for it. So I should have said to her, I've been looking for that. Well, anyway, you know, and I mean, I just felt, when I first saw her, I thought, I hope I don't grin. I hope I don't laugh about this. Because somebody had already been to see her and told her some things that was true, you know. She said it made her kind of nervous. And, well, it didn't make me nervous, but it was very, very surprising that that was the first thing she told me.
Yeah.
It was exactly what was on my mind.
I've always been afraid that I would hear too much, that I didn't really want to know what's coming on. Wasn't good, I would worry about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I'd hate to, I wouldn't like to
Maybe they wouldn't tell you that.
Yeah, something that was too horrified, really. And but you know, my mother believed in things like that, and her family did. My father just laughed about it. But my mother believed in things like that. But I will tell you one thing. Because my mother always felt that the old farm in Waterford had a lot of spirits in it. She always felt that, yeah. She always felt that, yeah. And I don't know if she really saw anything. I know that, not see anything, but noticed anything. But apparently relatives of hers felt they did, you know. And I know my brother, Ralph's boy, they had come hunting. And they had been in the living room and had the fireplace going, the old farmhouse in Waterford. And my brother had gone out to the kitchen to have dessert or something. They had eaten sandwiches or whatever, and they were going to go hunting again. But he went out to the kitchen to have something else to have, and his boy was in the living room in a chair in front of the fireplace and fell asleep. Well, he came out, suddenly he came out to the kitchen, and pretty white looking, shook up. Ralph asked him what's going on. Well, he said, yeah. He says, you know what's going on. You've been in there. And Ralph said, no, I haven't been in there. And he said, well, somebody was touching my hands. Yeah, somebody was touching my hands. And Ralph said, oh, why me? And he said, I haven't been in there. So that gave him a creep. He said he'd never go in there and stay there alone again.
Well, of course, that's where we vacationed, was the farm. We went on vacation to the farm. And the stories, because you always wondered, being Joanne and I and Jimmy, that they would try to spook us for fun. But it was always about a woman kind of in a white, you know, one of those see-through type of ghosty dresses.
Oh.
And that she might be out there sometime. And Jimmy always swore he saw it, but I think he probably was just trying to scare me. But
well,
you never know.
Well, what I thought I saw over there, I never liked that place. I never liked the farm. I said, don't leave me that place. I don't like it. We went over one time. It was, let's see, I don't know. Oh, I know. Whatever it was up in a tree, a raccoon or something, and we went over, it was at night.
Be raccoon
went
night.
Over, and Ashley Everett,
yep,
and whoever else, I think probably John or something anyway, and Betty and I, because Betty wanted me to go too, because they asked her if she wanted to go. So we went over, and it was at the back of the farmhouse, mm-hmm, on the left, back of the farmhouse on the left side. And up in that, I call it a chamber. It was a room that was just not really used for any particular thing, storage, just
chamber.
Nothing. It was just old and so forth, you know. It wasn't never redone like a room at all. Well, anyway, so we were standing there for them to, because they were going to get rid of this thing out of the, because he was getting into the garden and everything, too. So they wanted to get rid of him. And I looked up in that window. There was a window in that room up there. And it wasn't a big, big window. And it looked to me like there was a woman that was dressed in an old bonnet. She was dressed in dark clothes that looked like somebody was standing there looking out. Yeah, gave me the creeps.
Yeah, I can see
that. And I thought, if you think I'd ever go in that room again, forget it.
Yeah. No, sir. No.
Well,
way.
You know what? I'll tell you what happened to me, too. I always said that the house on Main Street I lived in for almost 20 years, that the hospital bought and tore down. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they tore it down. Because up in the attic, I was there one day, and this was back when we were going to have, I think it was the 25th graduation anniversary was going to be for the high school, was going to be downstairs at the Congo Church. And there was a couple of other classes that were going to be there too, which was fun, because we got to see some of the other ones. And so it was going to be there. So I went up in the attic to look in a box that had different photos in, having to do with not just my classmates, but some of the others that I thought I'd get together to take with me. So I was sitting on the floor against the chimney upstairs in the old attic. And I was just... My feet was out like this, and my box was here, and I was looking at stuff. And all of a sudden, there was a light going. Seemed like a light was going back and forth. And so I didn't think too much of it, because there were two windows in the attic, mm-hmm. one on the front and one toward the driveway. And but it was raining that day. It was not... Mm. It was raining that day. There was no sunshine. So anyway, I sat there for a while. Well, that kind of gave me kind of a creepy feeling. So I decided, well, I guess I'll get my stuff together and get out of here. So I picked up whatever I wanted of the photos, put the box back. I had to go around this way to put the box back. And when I went to go downstairs, that happened again. These lights were right in front of me,
weird.
Back and forth. And it just gave me a terrible, terrible feeling. And I don't know what it was or why it was. And there was no noise, no nothing, but just those lights. And I never forgot it. And one time, I didn't do it, but I wish I had. After the hospital bought that house, they used the downstairs living room part for like an office, because I remember Ray Brown telling us that that he went over to pay a bill, and that's where he had to go, was in there, and so forth. And I thought, well, sometime I'm going to go in there and find out who, I guess it was a woman that was running that office in there, but anyway, find out if anybody had ever been in the attic, if they store anything up there, if anybody ever been in the attic, and there was anything unusual about it, but I never did. I wish I had, but I didn't. But I never forgot it. So when the place was torn down, it really didn't bother me a bit, because I really didn't care. Show me nothing. But
well, I think we'll all sleep not maybe quite so well tonight.
We'll be thinking of your stories when we go to bed tonight.
Oh, well, right.
Oh, good.
Because you've been telling us stories now for well over an hour.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to try to... not erase anything. Just
stop it.